Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Over in Genesis chapter 1, in verse 28, God said to man, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion." That means absolute rule and authority over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Notice God said to man, have dominion. Have dominion over absolute rule and authority. In other words, take control. Take control. God gave man control over the earth in the very beginning. And yet you hear so many people, Christians, saying, well, God's in control. Well, whatever God wants to happen, I just believe it's going to happen. If God wants to do it, it's going to get done. And then when things don't happen that should have happened, they say, well, you know, God must not have wanted it to happen. After all, you know, he works in mysterious ways. And nobody really knows what he's up to. And Christians talk like this when the Bible is very clear that God gave man dominion in the earth. And of course, we know man lost that authority or gave that authority up, turned it over to Satan in the very beginning when he sinned against God. But then Jesus came back for this very purpose, to restore that dominion and that authority to us again. That's why right after he rose from the dead, he said, behold, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. See, he didn't have it all. He didn't have it all. He said, all this authority has been given to me that's in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore, is what he said to his disciples. It's what he says to his church. Go, therefore, in my name. In my name, and Mark 16 says, in my name, you will cast out devils. You will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. In other words, you need to go forth, and you need to continue what I have begun. What I've done is only beginning of what needs to be done in the earth. Jesus, his whole life, from the time that he was born to the time that he was crucified, died, buried, and rose from the dead again, is just the beginning of things God was seeking to do, is seeking to do in the earth. God's not done yet. Now he has delegated authority to his church. He's given us the name of Jesus, and in that name is all authority. All authority. We see that over in Acts chapter 1. The writer of the book of Acts is Luke. And so Luke, he wrote the Gospel of Luke. And then he writes the book of Acts. And notice what he says here in verse 1. He starts off the book of Acts by saying, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Notice the statement there in verse 1. The former account of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. What is this former account that he's talking about? Luke, the Gospel of Luke. That's the former account. This, the former writing that I've written of all that Jesus began to do. Everything, his whole life. Luke covers it all. From his birth to his death, burial, resurrection. Right? He said all of that is what Jesus began both to do and teach. All of that was just the beginning. Now, he is the head of the church, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and now his church, which is his body, is to go forth and continue what he began. See, everything didn't get wrapped up with Jesus' work on earth. His earthly ministry was just the beginning. Was just the beginning of what God was looking to accomplish in the earth. In the casting out of demons. In the healing. In the deliverance. Deliverances that took place. In the preaching of the word of God. In the spreading of righteousness. In the teaching of the kingdom of God. All of it was just the beginning. And then afterwards, after he rose from the dead, it says he, through the Holy Spirit, gave commandments to his apostles. And now the responsibility was on the church to learn of his ways and continue in what he began. We're to continue what he began. We are to be busy about our Father's business, which is what Jesus said he was all about when he was here on the earth. Right? When his parents came to him, they were looking for him. He's 12 years old. And they said, "Son, how could you do this to us?" You know, because he disappeared on them. And he was up in Jerusalem, sitting in the temple. And they said, "How could you do this to us?" And he said, did you not know I must be about my Father's business?" Jesus was about his Father's business. But friend, you and I are to be about the same business. I said, we're to be about the same business. Not just building our own business. Not just building our own lives. But we're to be about the Father's business. In other words, that everything we do in life, it is to be for the Father and for his business. And his business is the business of the kingdom of God. God is looking to establish his kingdom here on the earth. That's what he's looking to do. That is why Jesus came. Jesus came from a far land, a place called heaven. He came here to establish a kingdom. In fact, over in Luke chapter 19, why don't you go there with me this morning, Luke the 19th chapter. We're going to get real busy now about the Father's business. Got to take care of the family business, you understand? We got family business to take care of. Over here in Luke, the 19th chapter, in verse 11, Jesus gave a parable. It says, "Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered them 10 minas, and said to them, 'Do business till I come.' But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, 'We will not have this man reign over us.'" Now, of course, what is Jesus talking about here? What is this a picture of? It's a picture of how he came from a far country. He came from heaven to earth to receive for himself a kingdom. And so notice it talks about how he had servants. He called his servants and delivered to them 10 minas and said to them, "Do business till I come." In other words, he delegated authority to them. He gave them authority, which is exactly what Jesus has done. He's just given us a picture of what he came for. It was to receive a kingdom for himself. And so to do that, he started a work, and then he delegated authority to us, to his church, to his servants. And then it says in verse 14, but his citizens hated him. His citizens. Some people know there's a lot of folks in this world that hate Jesus. I only got a couple of, yeah. Because, you know, there's a lot of folks, you know, that's pretty extreme to say hate. You know, we think of hating Jesus. You know, you think of something that's really extreme. You know, you like picture like a mass murderer or someone like crazy like that. But anybody that rejects the truth of his word, anybody that will not submit to him, in God's eyes, they hate him. Remember, Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. So if you're not for me, you're against me. And he said, if you love me, then you keep my words. You treasure my words. You treasure my commands. You're a doer of my word if you love me. So if you're not a doer of his word, you don't treasure his word, then you don't love him. If you don't love him, then you must hate him. Hate him. So really, there are a lot of folks that hate Jesus and do not want him to rule over them. They are citizens, but his citizens hated him. I looked at the word citizen, and it means an inhabitant of a country or nation. That's a citizen, an inhabitant. An inhabitant. But then I also looked up servant, because here in this parable we got his servants and then we got his citizens. A servant is a person who performs duties for others. For others. A person employed in the service of government. A devoted and helpful follower or supporter. And then it gives an example, and I like the example. A tireless servant of God. Perfect example in the dictionary. A tireless servant of God. Again, a servant is someone that is doing something for others. In other words, they're not just living for themselves. Even in serving, a lot of people are still serving for themselves in that they're looking for the paycheck. They're looking for what it does for them. But God's looking for folks that are all about his business, taking care of him, honoring him, increasing his government, increasing his kingdom, advancing his agenda. That's what God's looking for. Those are his servants. I want to be a servant of the Lord, not just a citizen, not just an inhabitant, not just someone that's here selfishly living for himself and just trying to get all he can get out of the land, just living to get what he wants in life and using God to get it. You know, there's a lot of folks praying, asking God for things, and it's all about them. It's all about them getting things, getting stuff. A lot of times, people hardly even pray until they get into a crisis. Then when they get into a crisis and they need help, they're suffering, they're going through something. They need God to fix something in their life. Then, Lord. Then they're crying out to him. Then they're praying to him. Then they're beseeching him. Oh, then they're seeking him. And then so many times when people get those problems resolved, everything's okay now. I don't have to pray. I don't have to pray so much. Praying is kind of like a spare tire, you know. You just pull it out in times of need. Or, you know, a lot of times people just pray for the Lord to just, you know, protect them, guard them. Lord, I just thank you. You just watch out for me, my wife, and two children, us four, no more. And they're just content with that as long as God's just a blessing their life. And they'll pray fervently for their life to be blessed. How about praying for the advancement of the kingdom of God? How about praying, God, your will be done on whatever the cost, whatever that means, I have to surrender and sacrifice. Your will be done in the earth. Your will be done in this nation. God's given us the responsibility to make sure that we remain one nation under God. And that we fight for the righteousness of God in this nation. Of course, it starts in our personal life. It starts in the world around us. But we need to have a vision for the world. And so that's why the Bible tells to pray for those who are in authority. Pray for them. A lot of times folks aren't really praying for them because them is not them. In other words, they're someone else. They're not me. They don't seem to directly affect my life. Talking about those in authority, the governing authorities, the civil authorities. But he says, first of all, over in the book of Timothy, first of all, pray. Pray for kings and those who are in authority. And then he says, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. They do directly affect our life. And so we have a responsibility to pray for them. We have a responsibility for the direction of this nation, to make sure this nation continues to go the right direction. Now, you know, here in this parable where it says, where he said to them, do business until I come, in verse 13. Do business till I come. The original King James says, occupy. Occupy till I come. I looked it up in the Greek language, and it means to carry on the business. That word occupy, to carry on the business. See, we got to carry on the family business. See, we got to carry on what Jesus began. That's why Jesus said in the Gospel of John, he said, those who believe in me will do the works that I do. They'll do the works that I do, and greater works these they shall do, because I go to my Father. So we're to be carrying out the same works of Jesus. See, we need to be thinking that way. We need to see ourselves that way, affecting the kingdom of God, not just thinking about the rent. Man, if we could just get beyond the mortgage payment, if we could just get beyond the mundane, if we can just get beyond our own personal needs and wants. See, that's why he says, do not be entangled with the affairs of this life. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. If we're entangled with the affairs of this life, we're going to miss the greater purpose and plan of God for our life and thus not walk in the fullness of the blessing of God for our life. So the very blessing that we all want, we're not going to be able to fully receive if we're not walking in the purpose of God for our life, which is a purpose that goes beyond just the affairs of this, our personal affairs. We got to think out beyond that. We got to think about God's government. We got to think about God's righteousness. We got to think about God's kingdom. We want to see God's kingdom growing in the earth. And again, we have the dominion. We have the authority. We're the ones that have to make it happen. It's not, we just can't put it off all on God and say, well, whatever God wants to do, that's what's going to happen. No, the Bible says over in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, it says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Everybody say, take it. Who takes it? The violent. The violent. Do we have any violent people in here this morning? See, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it. Take it. Now, Jesus has made it available to us, but I want people to know what Jesus did was very violent. It was very violent. He suffered a very violent death in order to take hold of the kingdom of God, to bring the kingdom of God to the earth. Right? And his resurrection was violent. I like talking about that, especially if I know the devil's listening. That was violent too. Bible says he disarmed principalities and power and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. I mean, it was war. When Jesus rose from the dead, when he came out of the earth, it was a violent thing that took place. And it was done for the kingdom of God, to take the kingdom of God, to bring the kingdom of God to the earth. And so it continues on today. The violent take it by force. And I got news for you. The devil is still violently, and he's working through people to violently take the kingdom of God from us, to take the kingdom of God from America. There are people, they are violent about it. They'll put everything on the line to take it from you. And if we're passive, it will be taken. And they've already successfully taken a lot. America, we've lost a lot already. Lost a lot of freedoms in this country already. And there's a lot of laws being passed that are so contrary to the Word of God. What was it, back in 1963? They took prayer out of the schools. They took prayer out of the schools. And then they also legalized abortion, the killing of babies. They legalized that. Now they're making same-sex marriage legal in the land, trying to treat that something God calls an abomination. They're trying to make out to be normal, or really not even important, not even something to think much about. Not that big of a deal. Definitely nothing that should influence your vote come election day. But God says it's an abomination. There are so many things that are happening. Legalizing recreational marijuana and all these different issues, all these different things that are contrary to God's word, contrary to his righteousness. But we're to be all about the righteousness of God, all about the kingdom of God. And what is the kingdom of God? Over in Romans 14, verse 17, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." So, taking the kingdom of God by force is taking God's righteousness, taking his peace, his joy. There are those that are violently working to take God's righteousness out of there. They want to remove "in God we trust" from our currency. They've already removed the commandments from our courthouses. You think about it, you know, how many people sat and watched on television as they took the commandments out of courtrooms? And people just watched it. Christians, that's a terrible thing. That's a terrible thing. And then they went and they voted. And in many cases, they put more of the same kind of people in office that removed the commandments. They put them back. They put the same people back in office. Who's responsible for that? Is that God? Is God up to something? No, people are up to something. People are doing something. People aren't thinking right. And you know what? I don't expect sinners to think right. Sinners think wrong. They're sinners. But what about those that have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about the born-again believer. We're here in this nation, and we are responsible for how things are going. And in a lot of cases, a lot of Christians are just silent. Or they're confused. They're not sure. They're looking at the CNN news more than they're looking at the good news. That will confuse you. You just keep listening to men all day to tell you what they think and their opinion and how they feel about it, and you will be a confused person. But you see, if we exalt the word of God, if we're all about living for righteousness, exalting the word of God, exalting the word of his righteousness, then we're not going to be confused about stuff. Too many Christians are stuck. "I don't know, I'm just kind of confused." You kind of see some of them on Facebook. And you could tell, these folks don't have their face in the book. I mean, you could tell. It's like, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? "Well, you know, I just don't like the way this person, the way they talk. I don't like the way they talk." Why don't you go by what they're doing? Why don't you go by what they're actually carrying out and accomplishing? Rather than standing behind people that talk so nice and so dignified. See, we live in a society today where we judge everything by personality. Personality and appearance. Oh, they're so special looking. Right? And whatever the media makes, if the media makes them sound popular, oh, okay, can I get their autograph? And people are judging things based on personality, and there's no substance. There's no substance. Now, for sinners, that's fine. I understand. Sinners are sinners. I understand that. There ain't much substance there. But for the church, there should be no confusion. There should be no confusion. People are listening to their professors in college more than they're listening to Jesus Christ, more than the Word of God. They're listening to all these other voices in the world. And I'm talking about church folks. I'm talking about Christians. And that's why there is such confusion in our nation, such confusion in our land. Friend, you and I have the power to change things. We have that power first and foremost in prayer. We have authority with God. We've got authority over devils and demons that blind people's eyes and lead them in a way that is not right. We have the power, the authority of the name of Jesus to be able to speak to those evil spirits, to take authority over demons that would try to influence our government to go away. That's contrary to the Word of God. We need to be taking our authority. We need to be standing in faith concerning the Word of God in our being exalted in our government. And then number two, we need to get out and we need to vote, and we need to vote not our feelings, not what we think. We need to vote the Word of God. We need to vote for righteousness. Thank God for a strong economy. Even Christians, they'll put economic issues above moral issues. But Jesus didn't say, seek first the economy. Right? He said, seek first the kingdom of God, which is what? Righteousness. Peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That should be number one. That should be first and foremost in our thought life. And then the economy, a good economy, will be added. All those things will be added unto us. Those things will follow. The Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 29, it says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. I like that. Who do you think God wants in authority? The righteous or the unrighteous? The righteous. Well, then why aren't the righteous in authority? I mean, if God wants the righteous in authority, why doesn't he have the righteous in authority? Why doesn't he just do it? He's God. He's all powerful. Yeah, but he delegated the authority to his people, to his church. The authority is with us to do something about it. God will do things about what you and I do something about. That's why he says over in Matthew 18, he says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So if we're not binding it and we're letting it run loose, how many of you know there's some things running loose that need to be bound? There's some things running loose that need to be bound. But if we're not binding it, it's going to keep running loose. We need to bind it. It said, no, we're not going to let you run loose in our land anymore. See, heaven responds to us is what Jesus is talking about. Heaven responds to our authority, the authority he has given to us. We are the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. And the head wants to get some things done, but the body has to cooperate with the head. We got to cooperate with the mind of Christ. Say, how can I do that? Get to know his mind. Get to know what's going on in his head. Get to know his thoughts by getting to know his word. Can you say amen? Get to know his word. See, so we have to rise up and take hold of the Word of God. Take hold of the promises of God and get passionate about it. Be energetic. Be fired up about it. Violent, if you will. Violent concerning these things. And declare, I'm going to take the righteousness of God. I'm going to take the peace and joy of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to take hold of the promises of God. I'm going to take hold of the will of God for my life and for this nation. This is one nation under God. I remind the devil, I say, devil, whenever I hear some kind of perverted thing coming out of our government, I'll say, devil, I'll remind him. This is not one nation under Satan. This is one nation under God. This isn't one nation under a bunch of demon-possessed people. This is one nation under God. And God's people, the righteous, rule this land. And we're not going to have it any other way. We're going to have nothing but God's righteousness ruling the land. Because like we just said over in Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked man rules, the people groan. The people groan. And then the Bible says in Proverbs 14:34, you don't want to see people groaning, do you? We don't want people in the land groaning, suffering. Why does that happen? Well, because God, sometimes he, no. No, it's because the righteous didn't take their place. They lost their seat. They allowed it to be taken from them. But bless God, whatever's been taken, we're here to take it back. You got to have that kind of attitude, you know. We're here to take it back. You know, there's people that have gone on to heaven that were prayers, and they were believing God while they were here during their time, for their generation. They were praying for the leaders of this country. And then when some of them left, that's when a lot of things radically changed in our country. I don't think that's a coincidence. There was a lot of radical changes that took place in our government. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think they left and there was a void. There was a vacancy where people weren't praying like they were. And their faith had left, and now all these problems begin to increase. Our 20th president over a century ago, James A. Garfield, in 1876 said, "Now more than ever before, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt," talking about the Congress, "if that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt." Can Congress be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt? Oh, yes. "If it be, it is because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. If it be intelligent, brave, and pure," that's the kind of Congress you want to see, "it is because the people demand these qualities to represent them in national legislature." That's why a lot of times folks, they get mad at the politicians, but it's like, you know, you put them there. The people put them there. You know, and like I've said before, you know, if people enjoy bringing vile, corrupt villains into their home through the television set, through the movies they watch, they enjoy corruption, they enjoy murder, they enjoy sexual perverted people, they enjoy, this is entertainment to them. If they allow those things into their home, into their house, then it will rule in the White House. It will rule over this nation. Because if you don't take authority over it at home, in your house, then how are you going to fix the White House? How are you going to fix the Congress? How are you going to fix our government? See, it's got to start with us. We got to love righteousness. I said, we got to love righteousness, not just pick and choose what we love about it. Well, I love this part of righteousness, but I'm okay with this little unrighteousness over here. And this unrighteousness is just for fun. And we just pick and choose. We don't want to pick and choose what we love about righteousness. We love righteousness, all of it. And we hate lawlessness. See, until you love righteousness, hate lawlessness, you're not going to be violent. You're not going to be violent about the kingdom of God. People that are violent are people that are very passionate. They're very intense. And it's those that take it. Can you say amen? Somebody say, we're going to take it. Taking it back. President Garfield, when looking ahead to where we are right now in this generation, he forewarned us with these words. If the next centennial, that's us, does not find us a great nation, it will be because those who represent the enterprise, the culture, and the morality of the nation do not aid in controlling the political forces. We need to control the political forces in our nation. One of the founding fathers, John Hancock, reminded us 2 centuries ago, I urge you, by all that is dear, by all that is honorable, by all that is sacred, not only that ye pray, but also that ye act. Have you know Tuesday you get to act? You get to act. And we need to know how to act. What are we looking for? Righteousness. You know, it's pretty clear right now. I mean, we got in our country, we got 2 parties, right? You got the Democrats, you got the Republicans. And right now, it's very interesting. You got all the Republicans very united, and you got the Democrats very, very united in what they believe. And they all believe basically the same thing. And so and morally, it's very easy. It's very easy. Same-sex marriage. What are you going to vote for? You're going to vote for same-sex marriage. Are you going to vote for abortion? Are you going to vote for less rights for the church? You know, Donald Trump, President Trump, he just nullified the Johnson Amendment, which basically made it that pastors cannot endorse a certain politician, and they really can't even talk about politics. If they do, their tax-exempt status will be taken from them. How many people know that is the government trying to silence the church? But we just had someone undo that. Kind of makes me feel a little bit more confident this morning to speak out. It's nice. But it's causing a lot of pastors to, you know, what can I say? You can't say this from the podium. You can't say this. One Democratic person that's running for president just finished saying that if pastors talk about homosexuality, talk against homosexuality, their tax-exempt status should be immediately nullified, taken from them. In other words, silence the church. Don't talk about homosexuality. Don't talk about these issues. Don't talk about righteousness. Friend, these are violent people trying to take the kingdom of God from us. Now, if that offends anybody, your head is too much in CNN. CNN, and whatever else is out there. You need to come back to the Word of God, because I'm just preaching the Bible to you. We need to stick with the Word of God. You say, well, I just don't get involved in politics. I just don't think we should get political. Good, then you're responsible. You're responsible for those getting into office that have beliefs that are contrary to the Word of God, because you helped put them there. Because if you're not standing against them, you are for them. That's how God looks at it. And God takes it very personally. He breaks it down. The day will come, people stand before God and they'll give an account for what they stood against and what they stood for. See? Because we don't just love righteousness. We hate lawlessness. We hate wickedness. We stand against unrighteousness. I said we stand against it. So it's not about a political party. It is about moral issues. What are the moral issues? And the way things are today, it's just very easy to see whose side who is on when it comes to moral issues. Again, we didn't come to condemn sinners. Some folks get very touchy. He spoke against homosexuals. No, I spoke against homosexuality. Because you know why? God does too. And I'm a servant of his. I'm sorry, I represent him, and he's an abomination. I'm sorry. But am I supposed to say that because it offends you? Blessed is he who is not offended because of the Bible. Blessed he is not offended because of me. See what I'm saying? We get very touchy about these things. He's speaking against. I didn't speak against anybody. I just speak the word of God. Now, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So the key is to get them out from under condemnation and get them in the kingdom of God. Because they are under condemnation if they're not in Christ Jesus. So our job is to get them over here and get them over to think more in line with the word of God. See, we want to help people. There's people confused about that. They think it's okay to let people stay that way. No, it's not okay to let them stay away anymore. It's okay to let them stay a sinner. Is it okay to let sinners stay sinners? No. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. We're here to turn the thing around, change it. So we need to rise up. We need to not be ashamed. We need to speak up, speak out. Speak out. Speak out against issues that are contrary to the righteousness of God. Because if it's contrary to the righteousness of God, it's contrary to the kingdom of God. And if it's contrary to the kingdom of God, it's contrary to the very reason why Jesus came. He came to receive a kingdom here in this earth. And it's contrary to you and I, because we're all about the kingdom. So we're here to establish the kingdom of God. So in everything in life, when it comes to voting or anything in life, think the kingdom of God. Think, and if you think the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you're going to have light. You're going to have direction. Things will be pretty easy and light for you in life. It'll be easy to decide. There'll be no confusion if you think in line with the kingdom of God, because that is your purpose in life, to advance the kingdom of God. That's why you're here. You are a servant of the king. Do we have any servants of the king? We're not just citizens of the United States of America. We're not just occupants of this country. We are servants of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we're here to establish his kingdom in the earth, starting in our own nation, starting in the places where we have authority to vote and to change things. Can you say amen? Praise God. Somebody say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank God for the word this morning.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.